right.
Today we're talking Oh, I gotta pull up my pronunciation guide. We're talking to Hannes Rucknagen.
That is a very difficult last name.
Sounds German.
It is German.
Probably is.
Because it's from Grabner.
Yes, he's
Shut up, Austin.
We haven't even said hi to everyone yet.
Yes, I'm Austin Fury.
I'm looking at Alex.
I'm looking at Josh.
Okay, fine. I'm going to go next. Normally we go, I'm Austin Fury. Hi, I'm Alex Zavada. All right,
I'm Josh Pixler.
Stop confusing Peter? People.
Huh? What?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Peter. Yeah.
It's the first noise
he doesn't
made
sound
this
very enthusiastic.
No, he doesn't.
He's not very enthused about this hobby anymore.
I'm Josh Bixler. Alex Zavada is actually Alex Zavada, not Josh Bixler. I'm just want to point that out.
Would you call me?
I said you're Alex Zavada.
Peter's letired.
Letired.
Peter's letired. Have a nap.
But send fast missiles. But yeah, we got some fun stuff coming up today. We got an interview, right?
Yes, we have an interview that we actually already did. So we're kind of like inception.
We're actually going, and we know for a fact we can say it was a really good interview.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that in podcasting. You're supposed to act like you hadn't done the interview yet. But yeah, we all know the truth. Come on.
Let's just be real for a moment, right?
It already happened.
We had an interview with Hannes, and I can't.
Rucknagen.
Okay, he officially has the coolest last name in the world.
It's fun to say.
It is fun to say. And we got to go in detail, but there's something more exciting that we get to talk about now, and that is working with Grabner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we'll tell the story real quick since we didn't really touch on it too much during the interview. About 3 months ago, we kind of got in touch with Grabner. Grabner very recently has launched Grabner USA. Grabner is an extremely popular brand for transmitters, receivers, and
foamy
airplanes,
boats.
They do multi-rotor propellers. They're very popular.
Peter's going to be heading up float tests pretty soon. Yeah, and we joke about it, but I think it's going to happen now.
Grabner's first on our list.
Yes.
They even do like servos, motors. They, I mean, they do everything in-house. And obviously they have a lot of houses all over the world, but They make all their own components, so it's a pretty unique company.
And they've been around before Model Aviation existed.
That's true.
Been around like 80 years or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
84 years, I think. So anyway, they recently launched Grabner USA, and Hannes Rucknagen is the CEO of Grabner USA. And so he was kind enough to join us on the phone. Basically, 3 months ago, we started the dialogue with them. And they said, hey, we think that our transmitters and receivers would be a really great fit for your show.
Yep.
And we said, well, that's interesting because we've never tried a Grabner products before. And so we told them, you know, basically we'd be interested in working with them. But first we wanted to see some transmitters and see some of their product and have a couple weeks to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh, or I guess Peter, was probably the first one to unbox the MZ18, which is their 9-channel, their flagship 9-channel. It has like an LCD.
Color LCD touchscreen.
It also has physical buttons if you're not a big fan of a touchscreen. But I guess I should let Peter talk about it. Peter, what was your experience getting that out of the box?
It was actually pretty good. I was actually fairly impressed with the radio, too. Just kind of like, you know, pull it out.
Case is awesome.
Yeah, the case is really nice. It's all foam padded and all that. You actually get the case in the deal, don't you?
Yeah, the case and two receivers, data link card.
Under $400.
Yeah, $379.
Look
at you for affirmation.
I'll look it up. You can keep talking, though.
Okay. Yeah, keep going, Peter. I'm sorry.
I still haven't even read the manual on it because it's that easy to use. Because if you had like an Aurora 9 or any other radio fairly similar to that, the programming interface is actually very simple.
Yeah.
So it's not like learning a whole new language. It's more just learning parts of a new language.
It's very visual and very common sense. Mm-hmm. So like what you just said, all the key features, like say if you're going in to adjust your model, you'll see your dual rate and your centering and things like that. Mm-hmm. If you're going in to do mixes, you'll see it in a different thing. That is a really funny picture on your iPhone there.
Stop taking pictures of Lego, man.
It's a really diabolical picture, man. Good shading.
Wow.
We're going to have to put this in the show notes now because we were talking about a picture that Alex just took.
We need more Lego peoples.
Yeah, Lego people are cool.
Lego minifigs.
So going back to Grabner, though, also the key feature, too, was I'm cheap. I don't like spending a lot of money. The price point for what you get is phenomenal. They have
$389 for the MZ18.
$389, and that comes with a 12-channel receiver and also a 6-channel receiver, both with built-in telemetry. Mm-hmm. And when you bind this thing, the telemetry is instant, isn't it?
Yep, it connects instantly. It tells you receiver strength and all that. It tells you receiver strength a little too much in a weird accent.
And that's another thing, too, is all their receivers at all the price points all have built-in telemetry.
Yeah. Yeah, and go ahead.
Which is pretty crazy. The cheapest one, I think you were just going to say, is $30.
$30.
Which you guys are probably familiar, at least here in the States, what you can get for about $30 is a decent four-channel, four-range, no telemetry, no features, anything like that.
I'm excited about that six-channel telemetry because of multi-rotors. A lot of them, you know, for like simple race quad multi-rotors, take six channels, you know, that we have your auto level. And that's phenomenal. I really like that. I like the fact that you have two. The price point on the on I believe the six channel telemetry is like you said $30, but then it goes all the way up on the lower one that we're trying out, the MZ12. That comes with an eight channel, and that's $150.
Yeah.
For that. Now it doesn't come in a cool case, but when you take the price of that eight channel, it's a dual antenna eight channel if I remember correctly. I think it was $70. So when you take the difference between that, you're basically paying about $80 for a six-channel multi-metal memory with telemetry radio, wireless buddy boxing. And this is kind of the cool thing that you negotiated, Austin. We're not just going to go ahead and do a review and say, hey, look at this new radio and put it aside. When people invest this kind of money, they're going to have this thing for years. So we're going to go ahead and what we're going to do is passively be using it over the course of next year and giving our honest feedback. If you see a failure, you're going to see a failure. You're going to see what we like, and you're going to see the honest experience. I think it's a really healthy way to do batteries and transmitters because those are things that stay with your in your field box, you know, for a whole long time, not just a plane.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with goggles. It's part of that startup when you first get into the hobby, things that you need from the beginning to the end. No matter how deep into the hobby you get, those are things that you need, just like the charger, batteries, transmitter, all that stuff.
It'll be interesting to see over the course of the year. You know, we are not easy on radios. We drop them. They get dirty. It'll be really cool to see how they hold up, and we look forward to sharing that with you guys.
I'm good at dropping radios.
Well, you do it all the time.
between the quality and the price point and the functionality and just like Peter was talking, like he hasn't even looked at the manual yet, just because if you've dealt with a similar radio, similar nine channel radio, you're gonna find your way around just fine. And that's to me, that at least personally, that's a big selling point.
Hey, you programmed differential thrust for your twin. How long did that take you?
About 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Just flipping between the menus. The only thing you really get used to is the weird cursor functions on the side, because you know how your directional pad is usually on the left side. It's on the right side in these radios.
Yeah.
So if you're like playing like PlayStation, it's like
that's
all
just
backwards.
Yeah, that's just because you're a gamer.
Uh huh.
Which I can relate to, but most people can't.
Hey, well, someone's calling us.
That's a weird noise.
Hi, thanks for calling Flight Test.
Goodbye.
Should probably silence that.
Yeah, let's silence that.
Sorry, guys. That was our fancy conference phone.
Jim will probably get it.
Oh, Jim got it.
That's the Lauren phone, though.
And...
wow, my other phone just went off.
This is crazy.
What's going on? Okay, sorry, guys. This is not professional, but really weird.
Just got really popular all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't take a call in the middle of the podcast. I remembered to turn it off. Did you see that?
It buzzed, but it's a great start.
Yeah, you just need to not keep it on the table that all the mics are on.
Sorry about that, friends. But look forward to trying out the Groppner products. And also, we're going to be trying out their props, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we did prepare them. We're like, do you realize how many props we break?
Yeah, right.
They're still willing to do it. So you guys will hopefully get a really good, honest feedback on both propellers and radios. But really excited to see it. Because right now, we've really only used two products in the transmitter industry. And that's, Horizon, Spectrum?
I'd say three. Spectrum, Futaba, and Hi-Tech.
Hi-Tech, yeah. So it'd be cool to add a fourth one.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, too, another thing we've been checking out, not Groppner related, but with Christmas coming around the corner next week, a lot of you guys have been probably looking at micro FPV quads. And we actually just shot an episode on some, and we've been playing around with them a lot. Actually, between the interview we did with Hannes from Groppner and this podcast, which we're recording now.
Yeah.
Which probably doesn't make any sense to the listeners. But anyways, we went out and got a quick... We were low on energy, so we went out and did an exhilarating micro FPV ride.
Yes.
Fly.
You and Peter humbled me with your skills with multi-rotors.
Yeah, with all the crashing in between.
You guys ripped through the office like crazy. Poor Lindsay, by the way, and poor Jim. My wonderful bride's off today. But we traumatize those two a lot.
It's so easy when my wife has her headphones in and you can sneak up right behind her. She turns around and she's like, ah!
You know, everything that we make a case is, oh, no, these multi-rotors aren't a big deal. No, you can't sneak up on people. Well, now you can.
I'll get the fly swatter for Christmas.
I think it's going to be a tennis racket. And I think Jim's just going to stand back there and just start spiking multi-rotors.
What was he doing? Was it a nut ball that he was cutting out? By the way, my brother Jim heads up manufacturing in the back, so he was cutting models out the other day, and I think he grabbed a nutball.
Yeah, he had a nutball and then like a spar from like a cruiser or something. And he was like, it was like a sword and a shield, and he was trying to bat us out of the sky.
Nice. Very nice.
One other element of the challenge.
Yeah. So yeah, keep an eye out. We have a three quad shootout. We had the Nano QX FPV, the Proto X FPV, and then the Hubston H107D FPV quad, and we were actually really impressed with all three of them.
They all had their good points.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. It's probably not going to be coming until I want to say beginning of January.
That's probably a good thing, because calling around, they're pretty much out of stock everywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so look for that, but it definitely was an eye-opener what this technology is doing. I can't even imagine what next year's going to hold.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, this interview is... with the good folks at Grobner. Basically this is just to say, if you start seeing Grobner transmitters, receivers, ESCs...
It's not by accident.
Their telemetry modules, that sort of thing. It's not an accident. We definitely want to get you guys, our audience, you know, exposed to some of this, because Grobner is pretty new to the USA, and so we want to really give them, as maximize their opportunity to access you guys.
Yeah, we look forward also, hopefully, with these videos to, we want to hear your input too, because I'm sure other people in our community have some of these products. So look forward to hearing their experiences too. And I'm sure, obviously, when we release a video, oftentimes we get the comments, you know, on their experiences. Please don't be afraid to share that. We would really value that highly.
Yeah. And for those of you that are totally, you know, unfamiliar with the transmitters and that sort of thing, we're going to be releasing a video in January 2015 that familiarizes everyone with the technology, with the radios, just kind of like setup and that sort of thing. Even though, like Peter said, it was very easy to get through and everything, we want to do a video just like we do for everything else, just to make it really, really easy. So. And that's good Josh. Stuff. Josh Slurpin' Coffee.
I'm sorry, that was Kirby.
Coffee. Josh Slurpin' Coffee.
Slurpin' Coffee.
Like I said, I'm on a Mountain Dew overdose. I think I had one can too many. Now I got to go to something else caffeinated. It's not taking its effect on me anymore. I'm kind of worried.
Sounds logical.
Your kidneys are giving out.
No, it can't absorb. Doesn't keep me awake.
Stuff.
It can't absorb the stuff.
Well, let's get into the interview here.
Sounds good.
Okay, everyone. We're here with Hannes Rucknagen, and he is the CEO of Grobner USA. Hans, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be with you. I like your videos very much, and it's nice to be in your show today.
We've been having a lot of fun with Grobner's products right now, and recently we've gotten to try out the MZ18 and the MZ12, and wow, Hans, those are amazing.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that's a 6-channel transmitter and a 9-channel.
Correct.
Yeah, we've been very familiar with things such as like the Grobner multi-rotor propellers and stuff like that.
Yes, and the great chargers and things like that. But I wasn't prepared for how many features were packed into that radio, and the price point and the presentation was amazing too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure we'll get into some of the more nitty-gritty technical details, but Hans, before we get too far down that road, do you want to tell us a little bit about something we normally ask people that come on the show? We ask them how they got in the hobby.
So I got in the hobby short before I started for Grobner about 10 years ago. So when I was a kid, so I'm now 36 years old. Of course, I had some RC cars and so on, but nothing serious. But short before I entered Grobner, I was interested in gliders, mainly electric-powered gliders, and then the job opportunity at Grobner came nearly at the same time. So it was very nice to attending the company. I started there in the product management of RC electronics with the servos, and later on the hot development. And yeah, it was always very nice there in Germany. And after that time, when I became a CTO at Grobner, after the head of the service department, I got the offer to open the Grobner USA for us, because we wanted to expand, especially with our 2.4 gigahertz hot system, also the US market. And till now, I only flown our VVenture. This is a very small beginner foamy glider in the US, But I hope that I have in future a little bit more time after setting up the company and everything that I can get back into the hobby again. And yeah, that would be nice. So my passion is electric powered glider. I had in Germany 10 feet full composite glider, which it's a pity I haven't brought him to the US. I have all my gliders back in Germany. But as I said, I hope that I can enter the hobby with more time in the future again.
That's awesome. If you don't mind me asking, what part of Germany are you originally from?
I come from Stuttgart. So Grabner, Germany is located very close to Stuttgart. That's in the south part of Germany. It's between Frankfurt and Munich.
Very cool. Yeah, and
a lot of mountains there, so a lot of nice locations for gliders. And I think also some flight simulators, which are offered in the US, they have also some German spots where you can enjoy the flying gliders.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've definitely, just based on the YouTube channels that I'm subscribed to, I'm subscribed to a couple of German ones, and they definitely love their gliders over there.
Yeah, that's very popular there. This is also how Graupner started in the past. So we come from the glider, the glider business mainly. And very early we started also electric powered airplanes at a time where people only thought about gassers. But yeah, it's very popular in Germany, flying gliders. I think it's because of the areas there, and a lot of real glider companies are located in the south part of Germany especially.
Yeah.
So this reflects also into the hobby, because a lot of real pilots are doing RC flying as well.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I know you said you didn't have too much time to fly yet here in the States because you've been so busy. But have you noticed any differences in the hobbyists over there in Europe compared to American hobbyists here, or any differences in the hobby that you've noticed in the time that you've been here?
That's very interesting. So I thought there must be a huge difference, but it isn't. People are same friendly here, that the modelers themselves. So that's a special group of people also in Europe, and it's same here. So they are interested in everything. They are very interested in new things. They are very open and very friendly, so I feel very comfortable with the modelers here in the US. And I was surprised that people all over the world are so same doing the hobby. This is really, really interesting. And yeah, I think the trend goes also to ready-to-fly models.
Mm-hmm.
But we also met a lot of builders here, which is same in Germany, or I think in whole Europe, that there is a trend, of course, a huge trend to the ready-to-fly models, but there are the builders still there, and this is very good to see.
Yeah, that is awesome. Very interesting.
Seems like the hobby breeds a culture that is filled with, you know, a lot of warm, friendly people like to share.
It's pretty universal.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think same. It's also, I met a lot of people also from South America, or also from Australia in the past when we had some fairs in Europe, the big Nuremberg Toy Fair, for example. But it seems really people are all same. They are interested in the same thing, and they are very open to foreigners. So it's very, very nice. So I feel very good.
I was talking a little bit to Manny Garmi, who's I believe is he your sales manager or your marketing manager over there at Open Hobby. He said that he was thinking about flying F5B today. Which I had to Google that because I didn't know what it was, but that's like some sort of like crazy hotliner flying.
Yeah, right.
So he must be quite the accomplished pilot.
Yeah, he is. He's a great pilot. He's so for his work for Graupner, he's responsible for marketing and also for sales.
Okay.
And he's very, very into the hobby since his whole life. And he's very well known about, of course, all our products, but about the whole market especially in the US, but also in Europe. And so this was the fact and the situation, how we come together for the US business. And he's doing everything. So he flies helicopter, he flies huge gliders, he flies Everything. So it's amazing. If you would see his hangar, that's really nice. So he has a lot of great models there. Helicopters and big gliders, motor, airplanes, everything.
Very cool. Yeah, that is too cool. I see one common theme. Again, this is just based off the YouTube channels that I follow, but there's a lot of big planes over there in Germany. And even watching like the Nuremberg Toy Fair, that looks like such an awesome event. So it looks like the hobby is alive and well over there, which is just great.
Yeah. I think the Nuremberg Toy Fair is one of the biggest toy fairs in the world. But mm-hmm. The RC is a part of it. But yeah, they have everything there, and especially also the big airplanes. But I was surprised that also here in the US, where it's all the distances are much longer to go to an event. Mm-hmm. To an event, but also there it's you can see a lot of big models there.
Yes. So
it's amazing to see that. I like that very much, and yeah, and it's important. So for myself, it is very important, or for our Graupner US A entity, it's very important that we have a very knowledgeable people, which is many in fact, and also in our service department, they are all people who are very knowledgeable in the modeling itself and in the electronic, where the most questions happen. And yeah, this is one important thing I brought to the US, that we want to have A+ service. And till now, with our social medias and all our service requests we have and our appearance to the customers, till now we have we get a very good reputation about all our doing and our relationship to the customers. I think it's very important when you come to a new market.
That's awesome. That's really good to hear. So our audience at Flight Desk is very, very approximately 50-50 split between U.S. People from the USA and from people in Europe and Australia, etc. So any of our European audience obviously are extremely familiar with Graupner and know Graupner as the enormous company that it is. Would you be willing to give us just kind of like a small rundown of the history of Graupner and just kind of a little bit more about the company for the 50% of our audience that is not familiar with what you guys do?
Sure, yeah. Graupner itself starts more than 80 years ago in Germany, in Stuttgart, basically. And they did some sawing work for balsa wood. Hmm. And the family Graupner, the grandfather, decided, okay, we need something for the summertime. So they offering this balsa wood sawing projects for gliders, for throw gliders, these small things. And then it becomes bigger and bigger, and they started dealing with electronics and cooperation with Grundig, which were the first radios. And then there were corporations when the Asian business starts, or Asia becomes supplier for all the electronics, the corporation was JR. And about 8 years ago, we decided that we should develop our own 2.4 gigahertz system. And this was the beginning of the cooperation with SJ, which is... which was at that time the main supplier for all our electronics, which means all the chargers, the servos, the ESCs, the motors, everything like that. And together with SJ, which we had a very close relationship, we developed our whole new radio lineup, the hot radios. And so the relationship became closer and closer, and we merged together. So the official headquarters of Graupner is based in Korea at SJ, and Graupner Germany is doing the distribution for Europe. There is also product management and development and a kind of production located. Graupner USA is responsible for all the American market, and we have service, of course, and also product management located here. And then we have our let's say the prototyping, and the headquarters is based in South Korea near Seoul, and we have a huge own factory based in China, in Shenzhen, where we produce in our own factory all our electronics. So Graupner develops and produces all the electronics in-house, which gives us the opportunity to make fast reactions on the market, and we have full control about our quality, which the brand name Graupner stands for. This is how Graupner, a small roundup about our history of Graupner. And since we are now one company starting from development, manufacturing and sales now, we can be very competitive in quality and pricing, which was in the past not so easy possible. But this is the reason you point that out in the beginning, that we offer that radio for such a competitive price. And this is the reason why we are able to do that.
That's pretty incredible. I had no clue that Graupner went back that far. It's a lot of history.
Yeah, it's very, very traditional company. So in Germany, we did some research. In Germany, 99% of people who dealing with the hobby modeling are well known with the brand name Graupner. And I hope so. This is my aim, to do the same here in the US, and it seems to be good. So people, it's very interesting. The people here in the US, they connect us with all different kinds of modeling. So some know us from the propellers, some know us from boats, some know us from gliders and from radios. That was the situation when I started 1.5 years ago here in the US. But now it's very nice to see that all the modelers, or a lot of modelers, see exactly what we are doing, that we supply the whole range of RC with high quality and very sophisticated products.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a ton of opportunity here, because like I think Josh was touching on, we knew that there are Graupner radios available, but until we actually had them in our hand, like the functionality and the price point, it just blew us away. So I think there's definitely a ton of opportunity in America, because like you were saying earlier, the only thing I knew before I started working at Flight Test was props. I had seen your carbon fiber props on people's multi-rotors.
It's humbling. It's humbling how much energy you guys put into this thing. You look at it on the surface, and it's like an onion. When you peel back one function after another, you realize how quickly the radio can grow with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And this was our aim when we started developing the 2.4 gigahertz system. So right from the beginning, we decided that we want to have a system, of course, a bidirectional system with telemetry. It must be, of course, a hopping system because of all the regulations and the reliability. It must be absolutely reliable. And we wanted to have at that time already telemetry on the screen, telemetry by voice, and telemetry stored on the SD card. And this is the reason why you find in our products this whole integration. And there is no extra box or extra module or something like that which you need to buy to get a telemetry. And yeah, it's only possible because in the beginning we made the specifications in that way that we have this whole integrated system, which makes us now possible to have also telemetry in the ESCs. Or yeah, you will find telemetry very, very in the very, very near future also in our servos.
Wow. And the nice thing with that too is, especially with multi-rotors, that telemetry in the ESCs maybe a few years back wouldn't really be understood why it's so important, but you got not only your battery voltage and consumption monitored, but a lot of other key features that can kind of tell you the health of your ship, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so basically we can detect all available physical data, which means speed or current or voltage or altitude, so GPS data, all kinds of sensors are available, packed in some nice sensor packages, which means there is a kind of a sensor module, which gives you different kinds of sensor information, and you can only daisy chain them to all our receivers. So it's very easy to make out of your radio receiver system, very easy, and to very competitive pricing, a whole telemetry system. Also, the ESC, for example, there is nothing special. You connect them, and then you have the telemetry on your receiver. By the way, the receivers themselves, they all have already built-in telemetry, which means you get back the information about the field strength, so your link, and about your voltage, the battery voltage, and the temperature. So all the receivers have built-in telemetry as well. And yeah, that's a very nice and unique feature. So it's very easy to set up all with the radio screens. There is no special box you need to buy or something like that. It's, yeah, our aim was to make it easy, because it's a very, very kind of complicated theme, the telemetry, and the voice output a lot of new functions to set up, but we tried to do it as easy as possible for all the consumers.
Well, we do the classic thing whenever we get something new, a flight test. The first thing we do is rip it out of the box and turn it on and start playing. The manual comes afterwards, and we were able to go through and immediately identify how to navigate through the system very, very quickly. It was very intuitive, and once you learned, okay, this button does this, it just built on itself. And a lot of people, I think, are like that too. They get excited, they start digging in, and we really love the fact when we bound the receiver, instantly the telemetry was there. It wasn't like you had to bind the spectrum telemetry module where you had to get them both talking and go through those headaches. It was very efficient, very clean. And also looking, one thing, you know, having a model that or a transmitter that can hold hundreds of models is good, but if the receiver price is very high, it's still inhibitive. Your receiver price is very economical.
Yeah, I think especially when you want to enter a market, people are there. So they have a lot of models, they have a lot of receivers. And yeah, we are doing always kind or very good offers to make it easy to make the switch over to our system. And yeah, it's easy to switch over, I think. We have in the radios you introduced, the 9-channel radio, there is already 2 receivers in the box. And you get a 6-channel receiver with built-in telemetry for about $30. So I think it's very, very affordable to make the switch over to our radio system.
Absolutely. And all your 9 channels, that's not just a special. They're going to come with two receivers then.
Exactly. So we have two receivers in, which means there is a 12-channel receiver in with a dual antenna for bigger models, let's say, in that way. And also a 6-channel, which is perfect, suitable for foamies. And it's a full range receiver as well. So our system, this was also something very important for us, because as we talked before, we come from Germany or from Europe, where it is very well known, or people use very, very big models, which they can fly long distance. And we needed to have a very reliable system. So our link and our range of the radio system is, so we measured that during testing, it's more than 25,000 feet. Nobody needs that, of course, but it gives you in the nearer range of, let's say, 1,000 to maybe 6,000 feet, it gives you so much reserves in liability and in the link, that we never encountered any problem due to lost signal or something like that.
I can see.
Of course.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can see with you guys flying lots of very large sailplanes too. It's very easy to get those incredibly high and far away catching thermals. So that's really impressive.
Yeah, and especially when you fly in the Alps, they do landings. So outside landings where there are maybe easy 6,000 feet away from the pilot. So there you need to have a reliable link. So they land sometimes with spotters, with a binocular, and that's amazing. Of course, this is a very unique and very small portion of the users, but we have these users, and we needed to give them the opportunity also to using our system. And this is why we have this huge range. I see it very good and very positive for pilots who use very small airplanes. You have always so much reserves in the link and so much reliability in the nearer field that you never get a problem. You need to follow the rules which are common for all the 2.4 gigahertz systems, which means materials like carbon or metal are protect or hide the link Hider signal. So if you follow these rules, I'm sure you will never have any problem with the link.
What you're talking about there for people listening is keep it away from that. Don't have it encapsulated in carbon fiber or metal.
Exactly.
Always make sure your antennas are pointing. Not also, a lot of people point them straight out their tail, too, and what people don't realize is when they're doing that, they're sending the weakest part of the strength of the antenna towards their control unit. So usually vertical is the way to go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
And also keep in mind that you have your body, so your body itself, because you have a lot of water in your body, is also something which is which you never should have between your model and yourself. I saw sometimes the 3D heli pilots flying with the hands on the back and the radio on the back, but they should never forget that the body itself protects the 2.4 gigahertz signal very much because of all the water in the body. And this is common for all 2.4 gigahertz systems. So this is the physics behind 2.4 gigahertz. And if you follow the rules, you will never have a problem.
Very good to know. Very good to know. We're definitely going to be putting these radios to the test. I know what we've gotten to play with on the small time we've had them. We both liked them, but I'm sure we'll be experimenting with the big and the small functionality of it. And also, I'm really eager with the price point on that 6-channel that you have, the MZ12. That is very good. The fact it has telemetry, wireless, buddy boxing, all that built into it, that's going to be a really good solution for a lot of people. And generally, when you go to a local hobby store and you buy a full-range 4-channel receiver without telemetry, it's $29. So the fact that you have a 6-channel with telemetry, full-range, for $30 is a really good price point.
Right. So we tried always to be competitive with the market pricing, but we always have this add-on of telemetry, which is fully integrated and to the same price point. So I agree, it's especially the MZ12 is a perfect beginner radio with the wireless body box possibility. Of course, you can have it wired as well, but everybody knows the situation where you have this cable, you look around with your with your body, and it's difficult. And with the wireless body boxing, you could have a distance between you and the teacher, if you are the pupil, for more than 100 feet. So it's very convenient. You never have this problem when you move a little bit that you have this limited space due to the cable. And yeah, it's very convenient. This is something which you should use in future when you want to learn the hobby. It's a lot of problems sometimes happen when you have these cables and people are too locked to each other due to the cable between the two radios. And you program.
Especially with young children. They get very excited and they start spinning around, or the plane lands and the first thing they do is run out to get it. And that's generally when that cable gets compromised.
Right. And in worst case, also the connector and the radio, and then you have an expensive repair in worst case.
Correct.
Now, Hannes, I know that you guys have a very successful line of multi-rotor propellers, and we'll probably be using more of those, especially for FPV ships and things you want to fly, really smooth and really accurately. Do you guys have any future plans to release any kind of multi-rotor, or do you guys have anything in development, or that is if you're allowed to talk about it?
We are very short before to introduce a whole lineup of multi-rotors. So what we see, the interest from the multi-rotor market is very high in components right now to our products, which means to the chargers, to the radios, but of course to the propellers, motors, and to the ESCs, which you will find in also other kind of multi-rotors on the market right now. But since we are doing models as well, in our whole history of the company, we will offer 2015 a lineup of multi-rotor products, which means we will have a consumer products, which is in the range of 400 size. We will have also platforms for builders, which means you have all these flight controller integrations like the sensors, the GPS modules, and so on, also as separate products available outside of the consumer package, that you can build your own multi-rotor. And yeah, everything will be or will have telemetry and everything. So you will see the whole integration of the system inside these products, which is something unique and which we think could give us also a nice footstep in that market, together with all the quality we always supply and all the new functions and possibilities we will offer also in that product categories. So yeah, to come to the point to your question, we will we will do it in 2015.
That's awesome.
And it will be a whole range. So it will be something for consumers, something in the lower to middle price range, and it will went up to the real professional aerial photography platforms, also with more than four arms.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing how, I mean, even with some companies that are seeing a lot of success in that market, you know, like DJI and 3D Robotics and even GoPro now making their own platform, it's just amazing how wide open that market is, just for all different kinds of multi-rotors and different skill levels and goals and that sort of thing. So that's very interesting.
It is, and I see it also very positive for the market. Of course, there are all the discussions with the FAA and so on. That's clear. That's on another paper. But yeah. I think it brings a lot of people to a hobby which you control something, which you do outside. And I don't know if a lot of people switch over also to models or not. We will see that. But I think it's very good for the whole RC market. Not only because there are a lot of more money now in that market, it's that people come back, that the younger people come back to that hobby. I have an 8-year-old son, and of course, he likes airplanes and he likes gliders and so on. But if you show him a multi-rotor, that's something different. They are so excited about this, because it's something from the space or from the future, I don't know. So the excitement is very, very good for the whole market. And of course, it brings also new market segments like the whole industrial and commercial usage for it.
Yeah, it is amazing how kids adapt, but also I think they learn quicker. I was truly humbled with my children, how quickly they were able to pick up a multi-rotor and instantly adapt and be able to fly it, frankly, way better than I can. So it is definitely a great tool to get children into the hobby, and in a way that can also equip them for the future, for making money and for having a job. And it just opens up the way they think, you know, about the hobby. It makes them fascinated with technology. I can't wait to see what you do with multi-rotors with your, you know, you're talking about telemetry and your ESCs. I'm sure you're going to be using a lot of that technology to give a really good experience.
Exactly, because as you may see in our product categories, so since we have this fully integrated system, it doesn't matter what you program. If you program your sensors, if you program your ESCs, if you program your stabilization receiver, which we offer, you do all that things during or using your radio at the field if you need to make some modifications. And this is a very, very easy to do. You never need to connect to a PC, only to make updates for when we offer new functions for all the products. And that's it. You program and you set everything by using the radio screen. And this will also come into the new products. If you need to make some settings, you can change them. And you can do this also during flight. So it will be something amazing. But as you said, of course, we will have all our knowledge and all our possibilities also in that multi-rotor products, which we now have already in all our existing products regarding the HOT system.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. For Grobner USA, how long have you guys been in business here? And you guys are based in California, right?
Right. I brought my whole family middle last year to the US. So at that time we started making all the legal things, making the registering of the company and so on. And we are in business since January 2014, so it's a year now. And yeah, we are located in San Diego in California. We have the warehouse here and the service department office is located here. And it's nice. So I come from Stuttgart. My friends or my family is here right now, or my parents. So it's not as good weather as we have here in California. And it's very good for modeling here. So you can try things the whole year. We find a lot of clubs here in California. And yeah, it's a good place for us to be. Also that we can have all the products as fast as possible arriving with ships from China here in the LA harbor.
Yeah.
And this is important to be fast. So this was also the reason why we located ourselves in California, to have it fast receiving products, because yeah, it's a fast turning market. Nobody wants to wait if something is out of stock or something like that. And we ship very fast, so all orders we receive before noon Pacific time, we ship at the same day, which is very important. Because I know it by myself, when you want something, you want it at the same day. And yeah, it's important to be fast, especially if it's something which you need for the weekend to enjoy, I don't know, a new model or whatever. So this is very important to be fast, and we reach this aim that we can have the same day delivery at orders before noon. And we have set it up everything during the first half year. And yeah, since January 2014, let's say in that way, after the AMA show, we are really under operation.
Wow, that's awesome. You guys have been busy.
Right, yeah.
That's an unbelievable amount of work.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of work, but it's fun. I like it. I met a lot of great people here in the US. Doesn't matter if retailer or consumers, it's a very open and very friendly market, a lot of great people. And yeah, I'm happy that it worked out with Grobner USA, and that people, because you never know it before. Of course, we did it before with some distributors in the US market, but this was never so successful. This was also a reason that we decided it doing directly by ourselves. But you never know how the consumers in a different nation and country react to your products. And yeah, I see it very positive, and I'm happy that it worked out like it is now.
Now, if people want to check out Grobner products, your U.S. store is, or the online store is, openhobby.com, right?
Exactly. But we will have also, or we have also a lot of retailers, online and offline retailers. And yeah, as we work together with Flight Test right now, I'm sure that people can find our products maybe in the future also at flighttest.com.
I think that sounds very reasonable.
That sounds really good.
That's awesome. Well, we're really looking forward to working with you guys more in 2015. And I think it was probably, what, it was just maybe 3 months ago or so that we initially got in touch. And I'm just very pleased with how things are going and very excited to keep working with you guys.
Yeah, that's same on our side. So, Manny and also Matt from the service department, which you had some contact till now. It's very great working together with you as well. And yeah, I like your online presence very much. And yeah, I'm looking forward to this kind of cooperation. And yeah, I think we can do a lot of good things together.
Wonderful.
Well, Hannes, we know you're a... You're a very busy man, and so we've capitalized enough of your time, I think. Thank you so much for being willing to come on the show and spend some time with us and let us pepper you with questions. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, it was my pleasure as well. So it was very nice talking with you. And yeah, I look forward for the upcoming videos and the upcoming shows. And I wish you guys a very nice weekend and a happy Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. To you. And yep, we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. See you,
Hannes. Take care, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, see you. Bye.
Thank you so much for your time, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. It was really a pleasure talking with you. And I haven't said that only because of the podcast or something like that. I really like your videos and the style you are doing. I think this is the kind of, how it should be. I feel good looking your videos, and I feel boring looking a lot of other videos. So it's great, yeah.
Well, I love with getting to talk to Manny and you and spending time and knowing you guys' hearts. It's really great working with people that have like minds. And, you know, you enjoy the hobby because the good it brings out of people. And it's really an honor to partner with a company where, you know, just what you're talking about with good service to people, you know, same day service. That means a lot to us, too. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I really believe that this is the key to the market. You need to... Yeah, you people need to see and to really feel that you love the hobby and that you love the products, that you don't only sell them because you want to make profit. And yeah, it isn't like that, because especially from my side, I'm involved in that whole hot system and everything since it was born. So it's really something which I believe in, and I believe in our quality and in Graupner. And yeah. This is not only profit or business for me. It's something great.
Well, we look forward to hopefully meeting you in person, whether we come down there or get to pass, you know, cross paths at a different location.
Yeah.
We look forward to it. He is such a nice guy.
Yeah, that was really appreciate you doing the podcast. I think we're gonna do more podcast interviews. I really like that.
Yeah. So good job, by the way, figuring that out, because he was very staticky at first. You were able to identify what that was and get him on Skype. And
we had some tech issues, but we got it sorted out. It's tech actually not too bad. So out of you three, who do you guys think we should have on next?
Oh, boy.
RC Test Flight.
That really? Would be cool. All
right.
I am insanely jealous of his deep voice.
Daniel.
Yes.
If you guys haven't subscribed to RC Test Flight yet, make sure you do so. We're big fans.
He has the best narration voice ever.
I don't know what it is. He's micro son. But it's awesome.
Well, Peter, set it up.
Make it happen.
We watch his videos during lunch break.
Let's get in touch with him. Mm-hmm. So basically, I think most of you know.
Sorry.
From. Listening to the After Hours podcast, the After Hours crew is going to take a break over Christmas. So
are they?
The next Friday is going to be December 26th, the day after Christmas. So do not expect a podcast from Flight Test that day. And then they'll catch you in the new year.
Why don't we just do one next week? I mean, we have 2 days.
So much time.
2 days, so much time.
So little to do. All right, so let's. We do have a couple voicemails. This is already kind of a lengthy podcast, so we'll just take a couple. And then we'll get out of here. Okay, our first voicemail is Ruben from New Zealand.
Hello, I'm Ruben from New Zealand, and I've got two questions. My first question is, if you laminate your plane with, if you laminate your plane, what characteristics would it change? Would it make it go faster? Would it make it more slippery in the air? And my second question was about the foam board that you use for your swappable series. Is there in any way able to order it from overseas or anything? Just wanted to see if there was any update on that. Thank you. Love your show too.
That's a good question, Ruben.
Yeah,
good question. I like that. Peter, do you want to take the tape thing? Because you're foaming tape.
Well, I'm not really much of an expert in aerodynamics, at least as far as the drag with
I'd say it probably
surface.
Makes it faster.
Yeah.
Because less drag, a little bit more weight.
You know what? Parasitic drag, when you have something big and fuzzy, parasitic drag is definitely a factor. And,
but it's very fuzzy lightly, though, like paper.
It's light fuzzy, but it's still fuzzy.
Golf balls aren't fuzzy, but they're more aerodynamic.
No, they're dimpled. Mm-hmm. Dimpled and fuzzy are two different things.
We're not aerodynamic experts.
Well, all right. Here's the thing. Yeah, if you if you tape it, it's going to get a little bit heavier, and it's going to get smoother. And that smoothness is going to give you less drag, and a little bit of weight is going to give you more penetration. So you would get a faster plane. I don't know if it would necessarily be slippery, but we did tape up one time. The Kraken is the slowest thing in the world. We taped that up for the paintball episode, and there was a noticeable difference in flying characteristics, and it wasn't bad. It was just a little bit more penetration. So I do think that you know, fuzzy paper, you know, does kind of slow down a touch. But on top of your other question, though, as far as your foam goes, the answer is yes. Hopefully this week we'll be getting our first load foam board. We're buying directly from Adam's board now. We're having manufactured foam. No difference, frankly, in type of foam that it is. We just want to be able to ship it overseas. Easiest way to communicate that this is the foam that we're using for our models is to rebrand it. So it'll be called Flight Test Foam.
And the box will look different.
And the box is going to be cool.
And the sticker on the foam board will look different.
I know it'll say Flight Test Foam, not Adams Ready Board. But Carl Adams was wonderful working with us. And the neat thing with the box foam, when we ship it over there, we even have the back of it has a really cool Gremlin poster you can cut out of it. So real excited. Good job on that, Alex, because you headed that up. But we're going to, as soon as we get ownership of it here, we are going to start arranging immediately to get it overseas and hit Europe. And hopefully three different locations. And we got a lot of really great people working on making that happen quickly. And our goal, once again, you know, by the time it gets over there with the transport costs, it may be $1.25, about a euro a sheet. But we're looking to keep it as cheap and affordable as possible, and that way it can be dispersed very easily.
Awesome. Next is Josh with a question about floats.
Float test.
Hey, flight test. This is Josh from Florida, and I have another question for Josh. I was wondering if he has any plans to build floats for the mini-series, particularly the FT Mini Guinea. I did an article on flighttest.com about that and a YouTube video. I just got the motors for that and got them all wired up. I'm going to take it out to Maiden tomorrow. And I was wondering, I have some ponds nearby my house, and I was wondering if you guys ever plan on making any kind of floats or an option to make the mini
fly
off water. Thanks. Bye.
The mini guinea on floats would be so
awesome.
Cool.
That would be funny.
You should do the big guinea and use the mini guinea fuselages as floats.
Yes. I think we could do that.
I think we got an episode.
That's one way to do it.
It's a really good idea. I do actually have a laser cut float plans. Problem is you got a paper
foam
that
board.
Doesn't like water.
Foam board. Depron.
But you know what, though? Minwax, you minwax it properly, that stuff is insanely waterproof. Do you remember we did that waterproofing episode, Alex, with the nutballs, and we did the FT Flyer?
Yeah.
We actually crashed the FT Flyer on top of the roof, and it sat there for how long? Probably a couple hours. Remember that? We pulled it down through, and it was fine.
That was, the FT Flyer was covered with
Camp Dry.
Camp Dry, yeah.
So I actually like Camp Dry more than I like Minwax. It's cleaner. It does stink a little bit when you spray it on, but... Wow, it works. The only thing you got to do is seal your edges. But if you do the tape method, as the previous caller talked about, it is pretty darn good. I would love to it. And yeah, we can throw those up. There's a lot of people that have floats out there that you can just actually just slap on.
Mm-hmm. Super Cub floats work really well, too. And there's just generic hot wire cut foam floats. And
yeah, but maybe in the future. That would be really cool. If we do that, we definitely want a solution for waterproofing very easily and really revisit that so it's not like, here, build some floats and destroy your plane.
Yeah.
Okay, next question is from Ethan.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you guys can make Mighty Mini Warbirds. That would be great because I really like warbirds and I love their characteristics of having the ailerons. And if you guys can make maybe a mini glider that has flaps or something of the sort, or make a different noses for the cargo ship, like FPV noses.
Well, you call that one, Josh.
yeah, warbirds are coming and the glider's coming. We have a cool solution possibly for the, I guess you can say glider-ish. So, yeah, definitely. I honestly thought the minis would be something that would only be over the winter. I think we won't release them two at a time, you know, from this point on. But I think they'll definitely be dabbled through the rest of the year.
Because they're great outside. They're just as good outside as they are indoor.
And you know what? Their speed and presence, it's perfect for a small backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You can really fly them in a tiny little backyard and have a lot of fun.
Yep.
And so, yeah, warbirds are coming. As a matter of fact, who's Rick's friend? Is it Dick Cheney that built the Spitfire, or was it Rick?
Rick.
Was it Rick that built it? Rick is a wonderful gentleman. Him and Bob Parmalee come out and help all the time at our shop. And guys, I don't know if they listen to it, but Rick and Bob, you guys are wonderful. But he showed me his little Spitfire that he built. And
that thing was awesome.
Beautiful. So, yeah, we already know it works, and they'll come for sure. Probably just more in the late spring to summertime. I'm still got to meet my promise about the Kraken.
Oh, the emails. Sorry, guys, if you got any emails from me.
It's my fault.
Not my fault.
We have a lot of family that works here, and I don't want any of them to have to go to jail for killing me. So we haven't released the Kraken because if we do it, we won't be able to keep up with the volume and have decent customer service. But probably in the new year, we'll just release them, and when they run out of stock, we'll build up a new stock and then put them back on the store.
Yep.
Sounds reasonable.
I'm looking awesome for the next voicemail.
That's it.
Well, that's it.
Yep.
Kraken's 2016.
If you guys want to leave us a voicemail, you can go to speakpipe.com/flighttest. You can jump in on the conversation there. We love responding to your guys' voicemails. So
yeah, and this is the last podcast before Christmas.
That's true.
So have a Merry Christmas, guys.
We'll see you guys in 2015.
Oh wow, last podcast of the year?
Last podcast of the year.
Oh my gosh, now I'm getting emotional.
So if you guys are listening to this in the future, these dates are meaningless. But if you listen to this before 2015...
Well, you just robbed me of this whole emotional thing. I just took it all away.
We'll see you guys in the future.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
Coffee.